Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. I'm going to read this one verse and then launch into a message I've entitled Reaffirming Our Commitment to Worldwide Missions. Reaffirming Our Commitment to Worldwide Missions. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Acts 1:8. Reaffirming our commitment to worldwide missions. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we visit a subject, Lord, outside of a month, Lord, that we would normally preach on missions, I pray that this would be a time of reaffirming in our hearts the commitments that we have made. Thank you, Lord, for this church and its involvement in worldwide missions. Lord, may we always, please, till Jesus comes, be a missions-minded church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All righty, we have cake after the service, so I'm going to go as fast as I can here, all right? Put your seat belts on. Here we go. One, two, three, boom. Preacher, usually in February, we take an entire month and we focus on missions. And here we are in the month of August. I was out at Brother Nichols, Pastor Nichols' church last May. And I preached there for him on a Sunday and then preached the two nights, Monday and Tuesday, of their youth revival. And what an exciting meeting that was. And he said, would you preach Wednesday night? And I said, I will do whatever you ask me. But Brother Nichols, I'm in your church, and to be honest with you, I would really love to hear you preach before I leave, but I'll do whatever you want. And so he thought about it, came back and said, I'll go ahead and preach Wednesday night. And I said, that'd be great. Me and my wife would enjoy it. And here it was May, the end of May, and they do their missions conference in November. And on this particular Wednesday night, he had counted out 6 months exactly from their missions conference to that Wednesday night, the closing night of their missions conference. And he said, I felt the Lord leading me to look at the idea and just remind us 6 months from our missions conference and 6 months till our next missions conference that we ought to revisit the subject of missions. And boy, I thought, that is a good idea. And so while he is preaching, I'm making a note to myself to make a note on my calendar that to count out from February and count out 6 months and say, you know what, let's not let August leave without taking a Sunday night and just reaffirming our commitment to worldwide missions. It's kind of like Brother Tom leading us in a Christmas carol in July. That's basically what I'm doing here. You know what, folks, I don't want us to forget what God's done in our hearts in February, and I don't want us to get so far away from it that we don't from time to time just say, hey, you know what, let's just reaffirm some things in our hearts tonight. And so I'm not sure that you'll hear anything that you haven't heard before, and I'm not sure that you'll make a decision that you haven't already made. But I do say, I do believe in this. Let me just teach you a little philosophy of life and something that I think has been a very, very good thing for my personal life. Let me just tell you how I think a lot of Christians think. I see them make a decision in an area of their life. They make that decision. They check it off the list. And then when that subject is revisited in the pulpit, they just kind of have the attitude of, well, I've already dealt with that. I've already made that decision. And so I'm good to go. I believe in reaffirming your decisions. Now, for instance, I go and preach in some teen conferences, and I preach a lot of times with other men that preach to teenagers. And you'd be maybe not surprised, but you know what? I think people there are sometimes surprised that a lot of times after a message to teenagers that was preached by one of the other preachers, one of the first people that gets to the altar is Pastor Jerry Ross. And say, preacher, you've never heard that before. No, I've heard it before. You've never made that decision before. Yes, I've made it before. Then why did you go to the altar? Listen to me. I'm teaching you something if you'll get this, all right? Because I want to get with God every once in a while at an old-fashioned altar and say to him, Lord, I have not forgot the day that I made the decision in this area of my life. And I want you to know, I've not forgotten, and I'm reaffirming that decision between me and you. And by the way, folks, I think that's why some Christians, honestly, go to the altar a handful of times in their life, made all the decisions I need to make, never go to the altar again. I think you're making a mistake. You see, one time, the preacher, one of the conferences, preached on the call to the ministry. And here I'm at the altar. And one of the guys kiddingly said to me afterwards, "Well, Brother Ross, you're one of our guest speakers. Did you surrender to preach tonight?" And I said, "No, I went to the altar to revisit the night that I surrendered to preach and to tell the Lord, thank you for calling me into the ministry. And by the way, I know the calling of God is without repentance. And Lord, thank you for counting me faithful and putting me in the ministry. And Lord, don't let me blow this thing. Let me to be faithful to the end." And I think that when a preacher preaches on a subject, even if you've already made a decision of it on about it, you ought to still be tender to the Holy Spirit and his leading and his calling. Back to an old-fashioned, back to Bethel I will go. Well, wait a minute. Jacob was there once. Why did he have to go back? Because you know what? It's good to go back to the time and the place and revisit the commitments that you've made to the Lord. I think that's what one of the reasons that the Christian life stays fresh to me, because I'm not just remembering decisions that I've made decades ago. I'm revisiting them on a regular basis in my life. So you say, "Preacher, I made some decisions and I made some commitments in February." Well, hey, let's do this. Let's reaffirm and revisit those commitments and let's stay a missions-minded church. So I've taken you to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. This is only a 2-point outline because of the cake situation. And unfortunately, they both have 4 sub-points after them, so don't get too excited here. But number 1, reaffirming our commitment to the biblical philosophy of worldwide missions. Let me just say something I say often during the month of February. I believe that a small town church can have a worldwide impact for Christ. I'm sold on that. I believe that. I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought not just to impact this area. I think it ought to touch the world. And I get that from what I call the BOTH, B-O-T-H, the BOTH philosophy of worldwide missions. You see, we can have a worldwide impact if we base our missions philosophy firmly on the Word of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And there's the word B-O-T-H, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. One of the things that your preachers presented to you and tried to get our church to just buy into and be wholehearted about is the idea of not being satisfied with just touching this area and not being satisfied with just touching the far-reaching corners of the earth, the uttermost, but also determining to have an impact on our Judea and our Samaria, every part of our world, every part of the world. Let's have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that means we ought to saturate our area, our city and our area with the gospel. If you want to get a good view of our Jerusalem, one of the reasons we've invested in the map that we have hanging in our missions hall, and the reason it's hanging in missions hall is because the very first mission field that we ought to be the most concerned about is our area, our Jerusalem. If you go back into the missions hall, look over on the left, there's a map with a big circle. And folks, listen to me. That's what we've claimed. That's our Jerusalem. It's our job to saturate that area with the gospel. Say, "Preacher, within that circle, there's other good gospel preaching churches." Aren't I glad about that? Hallelujah. But you know what? I don't assume that they're going to do it. I feel like we've just got to assume that we need to do it no matter what anybody else is doing. Thank God for anything, anybody doing something else. But let's not fall back on that. Let's not use that as an excuse. Let's claim that for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's have Blessed Hope Baptist Church touch every door and every family and every, listen, one of the reasons we're doing the businesses, it's just another way to impact our Jerusalem and so saturate our city and our area for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we do this through door-to-door soul winning. There's no other way, and I challenge people, those that have given up on soul winning, those that have given up on door-to-door soul winning, there's no other way to saturate your Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ without following the book of Acts and the method of going to every house with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saturate our Jerusalem through a bus ministry. And by the way, it costs a lot of money, but it's sure worth it. And honestly, you can look at that circle and you can't pick to a spot on that circle where if a young person doesn't have a way to church or a family doesn't have transportation, they can't call 812-665-3282, and we will send somebody by to, well, I got so many numbers in my head, somebody by, I almost gave my home phone number there. I'm, I'd have to get that off the internet quick, but that's okay. Call the house, amen. And it goes to Cheryl's cell phone now anyway, so go ahead, call the number there at the house. And we'll send somebody to pick you up. And I want to have an impact. I believe what we've got to look at is say, how can we saturate our city with the gospel? How can we, I had a sweet conversation one time with our former mayor, who is now the editor of the local paper here in Jasonville, and Dorma Clark and his wife. And they were talking, and they said, you know, we had a neighbor lady down the road that passed away. They live on Meridian Street, South Meridian Street. I ought to give their number and their address. Well, no, they have a neighbor down the street that they were concerned about, and to their knowledge didn't go to church much, and they heard that this neighbor had unexpectedly passed away, and they were sitting there talking one day, and they shared this with me, and they said, you know what? They said, they were feeling honestly a little bit guilty, and they said, you know what? That was unexpected, and as far as we know, they didn't go to church, and I wonder if anybody has ever taken the gospel by and tried to share the gospel with them. And Mrs. Clark looked at her husband almost immediately and said, I'll tell you this. I got to guarantee you this. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has been by that house. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has talked to her or left a gospel track on that. Now, folks, listen to me. That's the reputation that I want. And listen, we've got to be busy about this thing. Thank God for soul winning. Thank God for the bus ministry. But let me say this. We saturate our Jerusalem also by challenging every individual to surrender to be a missionary yourself to your individual mission fields. Now, one of the things we've got to buy into if we're going to do this right is this. We don't just pray for missionaries. We recognize that we are missionaries. Every single one, every child, every teenager, every adult. You see, you're a missionary because all of us have been commissioned by God to spread the gospel. And you're a missionary because you have a mission field. You have several missions fields. As I've taught you in the past, your family is a mission field. And every one of us have lost family members. Come on now. And boy, that ought to just be something we carry upon our heart. Don't wiggle out from underneath the weight of that. Don't try to shift the responsibility to someone else. If you have family members that are unsaved, you know what? You need to be a missionary to your own family and seek on a regular basis to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. I think you ought to view your neighborhood as a mission field. I don't think anybody lives where they do by accident. I usually share at this point in time the testimony of my mom and dad's salvation. Thank God for next door neighbors who looked at their neighborhood as a mission field. My mom and dad moved to Brazil, Indiana, across the street from the Purcells. And you know what? My mom and dad were unsaved, and the Purcells got concerned about them, began to invite them to church, and they eventually came to church and got saved because somebody in that neighborhood looked at their neighbors as people that needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that's true of the Purcells, it's true of you. And there's somebody that lives near you that needs the gospel. And listen, folks, it's a shame that you come here and go visiting everywhere else, but you won't go across the street and invite people that live right beside you to come to church. Come on, let's reach our neighbors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your place of employment is a mission field. And I, again, don't believe that you work where you do as a Christian by accident. I think there's somebody that works with you, and God's put you there to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So start praying for them. Start being so sensitive at work and look for opportunities to share your testimony or to hand somebody a gospel tract. Don't be shy in this matter of spreading the gospel. And of course, your church provides you ministries and opportunities for you to have a mission field. I thank God for our different bus captains and bus workers that have just taken a portion of our Jerusalem and said, you know what? I'm going to claim this area for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do my best to reach as many people as possible. Nursing homes are mission fields, jail ministries, mission fields. All around our area, there's opportunities through the ministries of your local assembly to provide you with a mission field. So number one, saturate your city with the gospel. Number two, impact your state with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I look outside of my Jerusalem, I'll be honest with you, God's just given me a very unique burden for southern Indiana, southern and central Indiana. I believe that southern Indiana is a genuine, wide-open mission field. I think churches need to be planted in southern Indiana. I think we need to encourage pastors that are already pastoring in southern Indiana. And I take that very seriously, and I take it as an important part of my ministry to try to keep in contact with men of God that are out there on the front lines and encourage them and to try to be a blessing. See, I don't see myself in competition with other gospel preaching, Bible preaching churches. I don't see myself in competition with them. I see me partnering with them and trying to reach the world and this area for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to stay committed to church planting in Southern Indiana. And I believe that God can use this church to plant other churches. We've already done it, the very first one that we did, and now we're looking very intensely at the Vincennes, Princeton area. We've already have put taken trips down there. We've laid some groundwork. We're making preparation. We're praying for the right person in God's time. Just like I said this morning, we're over here on our side of the line doing what we need to do, and when God directs our paths and gives us the green light, hey, church, listen to me, jump 100% on board with us. When the preacher says, hey, God gave the green light, it's time, let's do this, please don't drag your feet, don't mumble and grumble, don't be selfish. Well, if it don't put a dollar in my a dollar in our plate or a person in our pew, I don't think we ought to be involved in it. You have a very narrow vision, a very narrow missionary vision. And you know what? There's places all across Southern Indiana that needs a good gospel preaching church. And yes, it will take some sacrifice. And yes, it might divert some of our resources. And yes, it might divert some of our labor force for a while. But you know what? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing down the road to be able to go around and drive to different areas and drive by a church that didn't used to be there, and a congregation that didn't used to be there, and a pastor that didn't used to be there, and a church there as a lighthouse in that community, because God blessed and used our church to be able to do that. And so we want to impact our Southern Indiana, our state, with the gospel. I want to impact our nation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for God and for good. And I think that we ought to have a burden for America. There's a good portion of our missions money that goes to supporting church plants across our nation. You know why? Because America, watch this, is a mission field. We're in our post-Christian era. If you think we're still a Christian country, then you don't have a clue. And we've got to start viewing America in the light, listen, in the true light, the true reality of our present situation. Watch this, can I say it? America's becoming a pagan country. And you know what? We need to send missionaries to America just like we need to send missionaries to Africa, because I'm not sure that the balance isn't shifting some. I'm not sure the need isn't becoming as great or greater at home as it is any other place in the world. We can't try to reach the world and forget about America, so let's try to do the best we can there. You can impact your nation with your prayers. Please pray for America. Please pray for America. Please lift up American prayers. Please be like Abraham of old that stood before God in intercessory prayer, praying. If Abraham can pray for Sodom and Abraham can pray for Gomorrah, then we ought to be able to pray for the United States of America. Now, how do we impact our nation? Lord, preacher, it's Blessed Hope Baptist Church in little dinky Jasonville, Indiana, and you're wanting us to touch a nation. We can do it. We can do it through our prayers. We can do it through supporting home missionary projects and church plant projects. By the way, you can do it by sharing your pastor. And I say this from time to time, but you know what? Folks, listen to me. One of the blessings that we have here is that you have a pastor that God's given the ability to write. And can I say this? That the things that we've written are touching and influencing a nation. And from time to time, I sneak off the property here and I go somewhere and I preach. And you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help America. And so support me in that, please. Listen, I don't want to just impact this area for Christ or just impact Southern Indiana. I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ across the United States of America. And the last one, impact your world. We can impact our world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we do that. Our number one way of doing that is through missions giving, having and maintaining a healthy missions program. Now, folks, let me just encourage you to do something. I mean, I like you to do it sometimes and walk through it and just take the mindset like this. I'm going to pretend this is the first time and I've never seen it before. You know, everything you walk by every day becomes too familiar to all of us. And sometimes we fail to appreciate what God's doing here. But what you see in that hallway back there is a miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a miracle the way God's allowed this church, this country church, to be able to raise the money through sacrificial giving to support the many missionary projects that are represented there in Missionary Hall. And I'm excited about it. I mean that. I love that area of our church. I probably most days, if I've got an office day, most days that I'm here, I find myself at some point drawn out of my office and back there reading letters and praying for missionaries and just thanking God, wiping away tears and saying, Lord, thank you for allowing us to do what you allow us to do here. You say, preacher, you think we're doing enough? Oh, you know how I am. I never think we're doing enough. I always want to do more, but I'm going to tell you this. I thank God for what we are doing, what we are able to do at this time. And I want to say to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thank you. Because if it wasn't for a generous congregation, that just doesn't happen. You'd be surprised how many churches are telling me that every year for the last now 10 years, their missions program continues to diminish and diminish and diminish, and they're having to drop missionaries, they're having to cut back support, and this has become a national trend. And I think to myself, thank you, God, for allowing me to pastor a church that maintains a tender heart when it comes to supporting missions. Thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. And we can impact our world through missions giving, through missionary support and missionary encouragement. And I would challenge all of you, honestly, I would challenge you to spend some time in Missionary Hall. I challenge you to read the letters. I challenge you, as you hear the letters read, and we have our weekly missions, and we try to keep it before the church, and we have our missionary letters read every Sunday night, that as you take the missionary of the week, you can take that opportunity to go back and maybe jot down an email address or jot down an address and drop them a line or shoot them a quick email and just say, hey, I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're our missionaries of the week. We love you. We thank God for what you're doing. Folks, those type of things, missionaries need that. They need to know that we're here. They need to know that we're supporting them. So we want to impact the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that. We have a worldwide impact through the resource of technology. Our radio program is on now over six stations, and literally through the internet is listened to around the world. Our website. I haven't asked Brother Klein this recently, but I had in my notes from before, well, in one of my messages, that I had him check here a while back, the past 6 months, and he said that there were over 250,000 hits in 6 months on our website. And by the way, I'll challenge you to look at this. There's something called I think it's called the Independent Fundamental Baptist Top 500. Is it Top 500? I think. And it's the top 500 websites that are visited, that are Independent Fundamental Baptist King James websites. It's the top 500 websites that's listed. If you go on there on any random day, usually Blessed Hope Baptist Church is in the top 100, and a lot of times the top 50 of the most visited Independent Fundamental Baptist King James Bible websites in America. Now, folks, that's just crazy to me. I get on there and once in a while look at that and just laugh. I think to myself, what in the world is going on? I mean, you know what? I don't know. I'm hoping it's people that are listening to the gospel. I wonder, you know, how many people are on there listening to take notes and figure out a way to see if they can, you know, destroy Pastor Jerry Ross. I'm sure some enemies listen, but they're listening, amen. And hey, they're going to hear the gospel no matter what reason they get on there. And so, I mean, is that exciting or what, Phil? So we impact the world. How? We give to missions. Stay with me. How? Through our supporting our missionaries and encouraging our missionaries. How? Through our radio program and our website. Watch this. How do we impact the world? Young people, are you listening? Parents, are you listening? Through the young people that we raise here. Because folks, listen to me. And by the way, thank God for young people that grow up here and God binds their heart to this church. And you know what? They just say, preacher, we know we're supposed to be here and help reach this Jerusalem and the world through Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I love that. I love it. Thank you. But you know what? God's going to take. God has in the past, and I think he'll continue to take some of our young people, and he may send them to our Judea, or he may send them across our nation, or you know what, he may even send them around the world. And I believe that we have an obligation to raise young people here that have a heart to reach souls and a tenderness about them to be willing to go anywhere God would have them go. And so what an exciting thing. We said recently as we were thinking about the different young people and where they're at, that at one time was serving here, that are now in full-time Christian service. And we literally, folks, have former teenagers that now are in the ministry from Rhode Island all the way to California and just about from the north to the south, all across this nation at different spots. There's people that at one time, young people at one time raised up through our system here that are now out there serving the Lord, and that's a blessing to this preacher. My goodness sakes, I'll tell you what, that keeps me going. And so praise the Lord. Young people, guess what? God's going to interrupt some of your lives. And God's going to interrupt some of your dreams and some of your plans. And God's going to lay his good hand on a handful of you, maybe more than I'm anticipating, and saying, you know what? I've got something I need you to be willing to go and do. And it may be around the corner. It may be around the world. I don't know. But just be willing to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, we reaffirm our commitment to a biblical philosophy of worldwide missions. Preacher, you teach this almost every year, and I'm not going to get off of it. If you'll commit yourself to a biblical philosophy of worldwide missions, then you'll have a better understanding and I think more excitement about the directions that we're going here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Number two, well, we ought to also, 6 months out from our missions month, reaffirm our commitment to supporting worldwide missions through sacrificial giving. Let me have you go over to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll revisit a portion of scripture that I believe gives us a wonderful promise concerning worldwide missions and sacrificial giving to worldwide missions. In Philippians chapter 4, God is inspiring the Apostle Paul to write back to some people who were tender-hearted enough to financially help Brother Paul as a missionary, as a church planner, and they sent to him a financial gift to help him in what God had called him to do. In Philippians 4, verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of one, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction." That communication is talking about a financial gift that they sent. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift," watch this, "but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God," here's the promise, "shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And so I think 6 months away from our missions month, we just ought to reaffirm in our hearts our commitment to supporting worldwide missions. Thank you, church, for making the pledges that you've made. Thank you for following through. Thank you for hanging in there and doing it. Listen, don't be weary in well-doing. Be generous to God when it comes to giving to missions, because you then can claim verse number 19. A lot of folks want to claim that verse out of context. I'm sorry, you can't just say, well, the Bible says God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. You better read the context of the verse. He says that he will do that if you're faithful when it comes to giving through worldwide missions. When you listen, one of the best insurance policies we can take out on this church as far as making sure that this church is taken care of is to stay sacrificial in our giving to worldwide missions. Let me give you several thoughts. Number one, missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. Every Christian's giving strategy. We've broken it down and made it very simple for you. And again, we base it on biblical philosophy. We have a biblical philosophy of giving, like we have a biblical philosophy of worldwide missions. It starts with the tithes and offerings. Yeah, I believe every Christian, at the beginning of every week, ought to bring first day of the week tithes and offerings and put it in the offering plate. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the church that you attend, you ought to give tithes and offerings to that church. Now, folks, listen to me. Your tithe belongs to your local assembly. Doesn't belong to a missionary, doesn't belong to some radio station, doesn't belong to some para church organization. It belongs to your local assembly. That's where you're to give your tithes and offerings. In 2 Kings chapter 12, we won't go back there, but we see that the maintenance of the buildings was important to the people of God. And when the temple began to deteriorate and began to become a bad testimony for God, that they took a chest and they put a hole in that chest and they set it by the door of the temple, and as people came in, they gave. And that money, the Bible says, and they gave the money being told into the hands of them that did the work, that they may have the oversight of the house of God, and they laid it out to the carpenters and builders and wrought upon the house of the Lord. And you know what? What should have brought in glory to God had deteriorated and began to look terrible. And so they raised the money, they gave money, they got the house of the Lord looking as it ought to look. And I want to remind you of this. Everybody that drives by this place, this is a reflection on the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. This is a reflection upon God. And I want to, again, I don't stop and say the thank yous probably enough, but every summer there's a crew of guys that sign up and volunteer to come over here and maintain the property, maintain the yard. I can't remember one time on a Sunday morning pulling in here, one time this summer where I looked around the yard and thought, oh boy, it looks a mess. Somebody didn't do their job. Every week it's being maintained. Thank you. That's important. And I believe this. I believe that if you come over here and give a day of labor, you're as much serving the Lord as I am preaching the message tonight. I believe there's all kinds of ways to serve the Lord, and all of those services comes with blessings and thank God for it. But we take our Wednesday night offering on purpose. That's the night when we have the chest with the hole in it. We just say, hey folks, you know what? If you have property the size we do and buildings the size we do, they have to be properly maintained. It costs money. And so we're going to just have a way for you to faithfully give to the building program here and building fund maintenance of our building. So tithes and offering, building fund, and of course, missions giving. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now that means that I come to church every week with tithes and offerings. That means that I take opportunity to support the buildings here through our giving on Wednesday night. And that means that either weekly or monthly, I want to faithfully give to support worldwide missions here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe missions giving should be part of every Christian's giving strategy. I think that's a Bible-based giving strategy. Number two, children and young people should be trained to give to missions. And young people, let me just challenge you this. And parents, let me challenge you in the training of your young people. That just as you follow a biblical strategy when it comes to giving, you ought to raise your children up to also follow that biblical pattern. And I think young people ought to be taught to give tithes and offerings. I believe they ought to be taught to sacrifice for missions. I believe they ought to be taught to help with the buildings, both financially and also when we have opportunities for projects, of just showing up and volunteering their labor to the work here on the grounds. So children, young people, make it a part. Get it in your mind. Just do it. And you know what? You're laying down some principles and you're doing some things that's going to secure God's good hand and smile and blessing upon your life for the rest of your life. Number three, God blesses, I believe, this missions-minded churches. And this isn't just the testimony of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This is the testimony of thousands and thousands of churches. I'll tell you what, one of the earmarks my dad always said when he goes and visits a church or preaches at a church, there's a handful of things he always looks out to gauge in his mind what kind of church it is. And one of the first things near the top of that list he always said is, I always check out their missions program. If you've got a church that's stingy when it comes to trying to support worldwide missions, you'll have a church that eventually God will become stingy in his watch care and blessing upon that church. And so I believe that one of the reasons that God has always supplied our needs at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and many times in a very generous way, is because we've been raised up from infancy here. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I mean literally within months of the starting of this church, we were supporting missions when we were a missionary work ourselves. And we've never backed up from that. We've never stopped doing that. Hey, church, let's stay committed to that. The last thought for tonight, watch this. Why should we reaffirm our commitment to supporting worldwide missions through sacrificial giving? Because your heart for the world will either expand or diminish according to your missions giving. Your heart for a lost and dying world will either expand or diminish according to your mission's giving. Preacher, where do you get that? Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so God, I believe he's always done it in my life. I believe he'll do it in any Christian who's honest and sincere and tender. If you'll go before the Lord and you'll ask God, God, would you specifically direct my giving when it comes to missions? I have never asked the Lord to do that where I did not get from the Lord a definite answer exactly what he wanted me to give and me to sacrifice every year when it comes to missions. And you know what? I just have kind of just taken this on, and you know, I'm not saying that there aren't sometimes circumstances where this would be different. I just made up my mind a long time ago. Lord, I'm going to by faith just step out and increase my giving in all three areas, tithes and offering, missions, and to our building. And I don't mean astronomically, but I want to keep going forward on this thing. I don't want to go backwards. And you know what? The Lord's allowed us to be able to do that on a consistent basis. And I just want to say this. You know what, folks? You cannot outgive God. Now, preacher, sometimes do you have to live sacrificially to do that? Yes, and I want to live sacrificially. I don't have to. I want to. Did you hear that? I don't have to. I want to. I mean, why is it a sacrifice if it doesn't cost you anything? Is it really a sacrifice if it doesn't hurt a little bit? Is it really a sacrifice if it's just always out of the abundance of your life? And so I want God to see that I'm willing to give even sacrificially, because I know this: where my treasure is, there my heart is also. Preacher, why do you love Blessed Hope Baptist Church so much? Because that's where I bring my treasure. Preacher, why do you love the buildings? Why do you kind of go bananas sometimes when you see somebody tear something up or mistreat it or do something stupid or foolish just out of meanness? Why does that bother you so much? Because I put my heart here. I put my treasure here. You know, I mean, listen, folks, I say this every once in a while, and it's probably good, but I'm going to tell you, if we brought in forensic scientists and we tore the walls down at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you would find, we talk about the blood, sweat, and tears of people and men that are now in heaven. You don't work on anything, come on, Brother Chad, without leaving a little blood on it from time to time. Come on now. Not if you're a working. And you don't leave anything without leaving some sweat in it. And you know what? The blood, sweat, and tears of a lot of good men and generations before us have gone into seeing to it that we have these buildings. And some of you young people, every once in a while, going to be a ding-dong and run through and just slam a door or tear something up or think it's funny to vandalize something. God pity you. God help you. I mean it. You're putting yourself in the crosshairs of God's judgment. Not only that, you're disrespecting generations of men who paid for and sacrificed, ladies who paid for and sacrificed so that these buildings could be built. Hey, you ought to treat this place with respect. Amen. It means a lot to me. This isn't just another building to me. This isn't just another piece of property. This is a place of miracles. This is holy ground. And it ought to be treated that way by everybody. And then, of course, also, my heart is for lost souls around the world. Why? Because that's where my treasure's gone. And so I can pray in the missionaries' hall. Say, preacher, I can't imagine reading a missionary letter and wiping tears away. Well, then you ought to up your giving. Because if you put your treasure somewhere, your heart's going to be there. And I mean that. I'm so thrilled with the group of missionaries God's given us right now. And folks, literally, right now, you can walk down that hallway and read letters and read about miraculous things that are happening. And don't gauge miracles by numbers. In some of the missions fields that these folks are in, one soul a month is a miracle. Okay, don't always be wooed and wowed by the tens of thousands and all of these numbers. I'm going to tell you, in some places, one soul a month, in some places, one soul a year is a miracle. Thank God for missionaries that'll go and toil in some of the hard fields. And you know what? Thank God for them. Well, let's reaffirm. Let's reaffirm tonight our commitment to worldwide missions. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we've had to take a few minutes and just, Lord, again, probably not say or teach anything that hasn't been said and taught before. But Lord, it allows us just to hit a reset button in our life. Thank you, Lord, for a church that has a heart for missions. Oh, God, may we not become selfish. Oh, Lord, don't let us get caught up like most of the culture's being caught up, where toys are more important than missions, and we spend more money on dog and cat food than we do missions. Lord, help us. We invest more money going to restaurants every month than we give to missionaries. Lord, don't let us become a part of this selfish culture and selfish generation that's all about them and have already lost their heart for a lost and dying world. Protect us from that. Help our young people to grow up loving missionaries and loving the opportunity to support worldwide missions. And so, Lord, tonight we offer ourselves again to you, to come to you to reaffirm our commitment in this matter of staying on track as a church when it comes to worldwide missions. Bless now our invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.